بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما الأعمال بالنية وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى. وحبيب الرحمن صاحب التعلق بدمنا عبد القادر صاحب رايتوري مرمونا رايتوري صاحب. If any person came to him, any of his murids had come to him, he would inquire that, did you meet with Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakariya Sahib? Because you have to go through Saharanpur to reach Raipur. Like you have to go through Clearwood to reach Durban. So we inquire from them that, have you met with Shaykh al-Hadith? The person says, yes, I met him. So it will bring a lot of happiness to Hazrat Mawla Raipuri Sahib. And a murid wants that his sheikh must be happy with him. So whether he liked it or not, he'd meet Hazrat Sheikh, spend a couple of hours there, and then move on to Raipur. Mawla Habibur Rahman initially, he was not interested in Hazrat Sheikh al-Hadith Rahmatullahi Alayhi. In fact, a little bit turned away and averse. Because in his youth, Habib Rahman Sahib was into politics when he studied. And the Sheikh didn't like that. That if you are studying, that you mustn't be in politics. Your mind is divided between your studies and political activities, so you can't study well. So he didn't like this. So he was a little bit averse. But now on the other hand, if you need to come to Raipur and you met Hazrat Sheikh Ramtali, then Mona Raipur you'll be very happy. So he came up to Saharanpur and he says to Hazrat Sheikh Ramtali, see, I got a question to ask. I've come in here on Thursday and inshallah I'll be returning on Monday or so. And I got one question, I'll give you 3 days to think about it. When I'm returning, give me the answer. So his question was, ye tasawuf kya bala hai? This tasawuf, what is it all about? What is it all about? So the Shaykh told him, Rahmatullahi, you have to wait till Monday, take the answer now and go. The whole theme, the objective of tasawuf is innamal a'malu bin niyat. And it ends on an ta'budallaha ka annaka tara. It starts off with niyat, correcting the niyat, because actions are judged according to the niyat. And this must escalate thereafter till you reach a point an ta'budallaha ka annaka tara, that you worship Allah Ta'ala as though you're seeing Allah Ta'ala. It's not just a guess, just an imagination. As though it's real now. You're seeing Allah Ta'ala. See, if you got an employment in a big company, major company, right? And they say, based on your performance will be your increment and your escalation. And remember, the whole plant is on CCTV, so you're being watched. If you're doing well, you can double the salary in 2 months. I ask you, what will be the quality of your work? In 2 months, you can double the salary. It's giving you 10. And in 2 months, if he sees your performance well, he'll increase it. And if you don't, then we can slice it by half as well. You can do both. So obviously, you know, you've been watched. He's seeing you through and through. So though you can't see the person that is watching, but you've got in your mind that I am being checked, I am being seen, and it's to do with my salary, my remuneration. I need to be very thorough of what I'm doing. So now that's the end. You come to that point and you start off innamal a'malu binniyat. So this morning Habib Rahman went up. He says, you know, when you gave me that answer, so I kept on thinking, you know, one day, 2 days, 3 days, for the 4 days that I was in Raipur. I found it so comprehensive that I couldn't find any problem in that answer. There was no problem, absolutely. It's complete, it's comprehensive, and it's a perfect answer. So it starts off with innamal a'malu binniyat. Niyats, the actions are judged by the niyat. Right? Translates literally, the actions go by the niyat. What the actions go by the niyat. But we explain it, the actions are judged by the niyat. So if you just give a literal translation, you won't get a full understanding. If you say the action is with the niyat, the action is with the niyat, then it doesn't have to be that where there is the action, where there is the niyat, and you will see something there, you won't see anything. It doesn't have to go. Like, for example, you want to go to the beach from here, you want to go to the beach, you go straight up this road, and you will pass the masjid. So you've cut through the masjid, and then you have gone to the beach, right? But I say, the presence of the masjid, was it subject to your niyat? No, it wasn't subject to your niyat. You have to go through that, and en route, you will come across the masjid. So then, what is the meaning of the hadith? That actions are judged by the niyat. In other words, the sawab and the rule of that action. What will be the judgment of that action? See, one is the sawab, and one is the hukam. What will you say about that action? So, the sawab depends upon the niyat. It's not just the action. When you are explaining these type of concepts, if you give simple illustrations, people get it one shot. Right? Someone is going to a dietitian or a health specialist, and the health specialist tells him, you know, you must fast from the morning to the evening, and your health will go very well. So in the month of Ramadan, he's dieting as per the dietitian is advising him. Any sawab for that? Any sawab? No sawab. But he is doing exactly what his brother is doing. His brother is also not eating from the morning right to the evening. He is getting loaded with rewards, and he is not getting any sawab for his action. So he's remained hungry for the same duration, but he gets no sawab, and he gets all the sawab. Innamal a'malu binniyat. So your action is based on your niyat. Many years back now, there was some psychiatrist. Now and then I would meet up with him. So sometimes it happens in the profession that the individual is overwhelmed by the profession. When he's overwhelmed with the profession, he'll talk in the light of the profession. He will not realize that I am first a Muslim, then the profession tags along. He said, I am a psychiatrist. He's talking the twang and all that. So you get very impressed. So wo bhare doctor hai, right? So you get so carried away. So he's telling me, this namaz, etc. Actually, it's an exercise for your well-being. It's an exercise for your well-being, going up and down. So if you do all the namazes, then your health goes very well. So he has reduced the whole ibadat into an exercise. Now, look at this person's answer, this psychiatrist. And there is one jahil, an ignorant farmer, doing toho, informal job. So the Tabligh Jamaat got hold of him and asked him to perform namaz. So he started namaz. Now, after a month or 2 months, they asked him, "Bhai, how's the namaz going? How you find the namaz?" "Hey, very beautiful, man." "So what do you find so beautiful?" He says, "No, when I get into sajda, I go to ruku, all the gas is just shooting out." You see now, you find a difference in the answer of the psychiatrist and this informal farmer. Both same. For physical benefits, they're saying the namaz is a wonderful thing. He's saying the same thing. He's saying the same thing. But just that his language will be a little bit medical. He'll give a medical language. That cover will be a medical. He'll give it in his own farm language. He'll give it in the professional language, but both are saying the same thing. But like this person gets no sawab, he also gets no sawab. Why? The niyat is not right. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. And every person gets exactly all what he's intended. So in one single niyat, in one single action, you can have 10 niyats. In one single, see that ma nawa. Ma nawa. Just stress that into the meaning. Ma nawa. Whatever you intend, you will get it. You just put a mud there, and you will get the meaning exactly. Ma nawa. Whatever you intend, you will get that. Just, you can put it on ta'adduda manvi and ta'yina manvi, right? Let's talk about ta'yina manvi, right? And then we'll talk of ta'adduda manvi. So you'll get, or you'll get exactly what you intended. So you see, ta'yina manvi, what it means. So the ibadat is of two types, right? I'll try and bring it from an academic right to a normal language, right? So you get ibadat two types. One is an ibadat that covers the entire time. Roza, it covers the entire time, isn't it? Your seri starting at 6, ending at 6. So the roza covers the entire time, right? So one is called a zarf, and one is called mi'yar. The other is, it doesn't cover the entire time. It covers a few minutes of the time. Now, presently, Zuhar namaz will start off at about, say, 12 o'clock, and will end up at about 4 o'clock. Zuhar namaz will start off at about, what time will start off at 12 o'clock, and end up approximately at 4 o'clock. So it's about 4 hours, right? So now, within this time, you can perform nafil namaz, you can do qaza namaz, if you have made any vows, you can complete that vow namaz, you can perform a faras namaz. So you can do this namaz and there will be still time left over. For the zuhr namaz will take 5 minutes approximately. And after performing the namaz, you will still have 3 hours and 55 minutes. Right? So when there is the possibility of you doing the faras and another namaz, faras namaz, plus you can do anything else. So within that duration, you must do the namaz, but the time doesn't take up the entire obligation. Obligation, and you can do other namaz as well. So because there is the capacity for both, for nafal, faraz, wajib, sunnat, mustahab, it's got the capacity for both. So then you have to define what namaz you're doing, because you've got the capacity for the both. Ramadan, you can't do anything besides the roza. Yeah? You can do the roza, and you can do everything else. See, you can read the namaz, and you can do other things as well. So because there is the possibility of doing both, therefore define what namaz you're reading, right? Zuhr namaz, faras namaz, qaza namaz, nafil namaz, mustahab namaz, sunnat muakkada, sunnat ghair muakkada, what namaz you are. There isn't the capacity. Roza, no capacity. Just the one thing you can do, and that one thing will cover the entire time. Here, a part of the time is covered, and you still got time to do something else. So you must define. I am reading 4 rakats of Asar namaz. So you should define it. And the time is still remained. So one is called ta'addud manvi, right? And one is called ta'yin. This is a finished ta'yin. And the other is called ta'addud manvi. In one action, you can have a whole host of niyats. One action, but you can have a whole host of niyats in one single action. Right? That's called ta'addud manvi, right? So now, simple illustration, you're coming to the masjid to do your Isha namaz, for example. So you have about 10 intentions. Intention, one intention is that en route, if I meet anybody, I'll make salam, one sawab, right? Then if I meet a Muslim, I'll smile at him. Another sawab, but please, not a young girl. You can greet with a smile, a woman, but the woman that is 90 years, not 19. 19, please, don't smile. A 90-year-old, you can smile. And inshallah, you won't last long there. Right? So the second is, you smile. Another sawab, right? Third, if it's the right occasion, and you're not inconveniencing, so you're shaking hands as well. Third sawab. See, the third intention. The fourth intention is that, I'm going to the house of Allah Ta'ala, and good akhlaq, what it means? Right akhlaq, what it means? Right akhlaq means you conducting yourself in such a way that Allah Pak is pleased and people are comfortable. People are comfortable and Allah Pak is pleased. That's the definition of right akhlaq. See now, people have redefined the word. No, when you are speaking, be courteous, try and impress upon the person. So it is lot to do with just the speech, you know, your facial value. That's all. So your heart can be corrupt, you know. This person is kabab ma'argu. Why came at this wrong time? You know? Why came? So your heart is swearing him, but just you showing a good face. So that's not akhlaq. That can be called democracy or hypocrisy. But that's not akhlaq. Because if you got hatred, you got malice, you dislike the person, is Allah Ta'ala happy? Allah Pak is not happy. The person is happy, but Allah Pak is not happy. So to conduct yourself in a way that Allah Pak is happy, and the person that you're working with is happy, that's called akhlaq. So in any good thing, now, that akhlaq is such a weighty thing, that will be the weightiest thing on the scales on the day of Qiyamah. The person is happy, and Allah Pak is happy. There can't be anything that's weightier than good akhlaq, good akhlaq. The hadith it comes, someone is showing good akhlaq, good values. Right? Woman is ill-treating a cat, and she's thrown into Jannah. But she's namazi, all nafil namaz, everything, right? But she's thrown into Jahannam because of her ill-treating the cat. Comes the hadith, sahih hadith. Another woman, she's doing a faraz, she's good. She's got no account of too much of nafil namaz. But she's very good to the surrounding, to the people around. She had an art of making cheese. So she will make cheese, she will slice it, pass it around the neighborhood. Now she got a Jannah for that. That's why I say, you know, a lot of these old things were in conformity with the Sunnah. And those things have to be renewed, they have to be brought back. Now, in our childhood, I remember now, they're making samosa, say, alright, we'll give this auntie here, that one there. So, as a child, you feel difficult. Hey, I will go 10 houses, walk there, pass the parcel here, pass the parcel there. They made achars for this. So, say, take for this auntie here, take for that neighbor. But these are things that were in conformity with the Sunnah. Simple thing everybody can practice. You don't have to have too much of bank balance to be able to do this thing here. Simple thing you want to do, keep the neighborhood happy. Simple. Made some achar, something you made, and you passed on something here, something that side, something that side. So this woman used to be very kind and good to the neighborhood, and she's earned her Jannah because of that. See this aspect of akhlaq, good akhlaq. So that's the fourth intention, that when you'll go, you'll apply some itar. Allah Pak will love it, the malaika will love it, and the people also will be comfortable with that fragrance. Nice atar. People generally like it, they take to it, so I'll apply that. That's the fourth sawab you got. Right. The fifth sawab you got, you also intend that if there is a Muslim that needs any type of attention, advice, whatever, I am a Mulana, for example, so he needs some advice, I'll advise him. I'm a doctor, bichara, the person needs some medical assistance or guidance, I'll guide him in that respect. So everybody can show good akhlaq and earn his Jannah through his own profession. Outwardly it would seem that it's a physician, and how can he get his Jannah? But if his intention is right, through that medicine he can also get Jannah. He brought that relief, that comfort for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Alright, I will treat two patients in the day, three patients in the day, only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, for no other reason. Just for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, I will treat. So that physician also earns his Jannah, but in his own way. A little bit of akhlaq, a little bit of consideration, a little bit of luck and respect. A businessman can earn his Jannah. It's alright. This man here, he is tyke, right? He's a tyke. So normally, I sell this article here for 10 rand. He must sell it for 15 rand. My thing, I can sell it, right? This man here, he's gareeb now, he's poor. I'll sell it to him for 1 rand. So what I lost here, I'm gaining in this side. Right? One place. So it's mine. I can bring the price right down. I can see the man needs it. So I just gave it to one. Right, there's a token. Takes. So that businessman also can earn his jannah through his business. How he does it? A little bit of adjustments here and there, and you're gaining your jannah. So that's the fifth niyat. Lafak will love me. And the people around will be comfortable with that fragrance. So they will also enjoy it. He chacha, he saltar, let's go and sit next to him, you know. So aren't we an attraction to namaz? Aren't we an attraction to Allah Ta'ala? Aren't we an attraction to the malaika? Aren't we an attraction to people, to Muslims as well? So that's that fifth intention, right? The sixth intention you can have also is that if there is a ta'lim group that's taking place, kitab reading, I will sit and participate for that. If I cannot sit for the entire duration, right, then at least I'll sit for 5 minutes, 6 minutes, and then I'll get up. But I'll sit in that little bit of ta'lim carrying on, so I will sit for that. Right, that's the sixth intention. The seventh intention is, if there is a gush, I'll sit for the gush and go a little bit. Right. See the seventh intention. Then the eighth intention is, I'll go to meet Muslims. Man zara akhan lahu lillah. You're meeting someone only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Pak's malaika says, Taba wa tibta wa taba mamshak. Congratulations, compliments. You have already secured a place for you in Jannah. So that's my seventh, my eighth intention, right? That I'm going to meet Muslims through the pretexts of Gush. I'm going to meet them only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. But in that, I will see to that I'm doing it correctly, making zikr as I'm going. And I'm returning with istighfar, not looking at the wrong things and the undesirable things. I'm not looking at that. Don't make it as a customary thing. Make it as an ibadah. So you will go with concern and fikr, and you return also with fikr. You don't know that your fikr and your zikr, how it will impact on the surrounding. But do it how you're supposed to be doing, not just as a customary thing. Yes, if the Amir is asking you something, or some brother is asking, you will answer with a smile, without frowning, without pulling up your face. What's wrong with this? It's all talking stupid things. So you talk to him nicely, gently, but by now they want us to make zikr, so we'll make zikr, and we'll turn, I'll see it to you afterwards. Right? So that's the eighth intention. Right? The ninth intention that you can make is this, that I will come and occupy the front rows, join the serfs. Right? The front rows, the rows that are blessed by the malaika, special du'as from the malaika, and they are making du'a for, right? It's the ninth intention. The tenth intention is, if someone in the masjid requires any type of attention and assistance, right? I am a motor mechanic, for example, and need some attention, I will try and help him out. So you can see, tilka asharatun kamila. You can make 10 intentions in one action. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ مْرِئِمْ مَا نَوَى. All what you have intended, you bring the salam. You intended, made 10 intentions, and 10 good intentions, and in that one exercise, but you're getting so filled, in one intention, in one thing, you're getting so filled. So I was speaking to the ustaz today, that you see, when we are teaching, my ustaz, Hafiz Abdul Rahman, Sahib Rahmatullahi, he wasn't an alim, but definitely his understanding of deen, in many respects, is better than an alim. See, that intention was so good of his, so sound of his, that Allah Ta'ala let it fruit in such a dynamic way. I'm not saying don't become an alim, don't get it wrong. But in whatever you are doing, the intention is right, then you know that action can just escalate. He says, no, the mistake that we are doing is we're not intending tabligh. See, when we're teaching now, teaching Quran Sharif, we're not intending tabligh. So, tabligh means to convey, to pass on. Right? When you pass on, if you're teaching Quran Sharif, or you're teaching a Hifz class, then the khidmat of the Quran Sharif is at about 5 or 6 levels, not just one level. The khidmat of the Quran Sharif is at 5 or 6 levels. One level is to teach the person to recite, obviously Nazira from part 1, part 2, etc. You bring the person up like that. That's the first level, primary level. Then the second level is to teach the person to recite the Quran Sharif, right? Right? So sort of, you are teaching there, but you are teaching with an intention. What intention you are teaching with? I will teach the word of Allah Ta'ala, and Rasulullah has promised that the best person is the one that learns the Quran Sharif and teaches the Quran Sharif. So with that intention, I'm teaching the Quran Sharif, although it's just about recitation, but I'm teaching. Why I'm teaching? Because of this promise of Rasulullah that the best person is the one that learns the Quran and teaches the Quran. My second intention is, I will teach with the intention that this person will like and love learning the Quran and teaching the Quran. So I'm teaching 10 boys, right? I'm one person. But I've intended all of them must also learn the Quran Sharif properly and teach the Quran Sharif. So whether I'm around, I'm not around, but the Quran Sharif will go on. It will go on. Won't it go on? 10 people are doing the same work of that one person. So my intention is also that they should go on. Remember, don't underestimate your niyat. If your niyat is strong, your yaqeen is on Allah Ta'ala, your trust is in Allah Ta'ala, and your intention is right, Allah Ta'ala will create the circumstance that these people will go on teaching the Quran Sharif immediately or after some time. Sometimes it may not be straight, sometimes it may come after some time. You know, they say Harun al-Rashid, king of the time, he's passing on old man that's planting an olive tree. So the old man, you know what, you are already one leg in the grave, and you're planting this tree, how long it will take that thing to fruit? Say about 40 years. What's your age? 80. You're not going to live. So why are you planting this thing? Say, you go and do your work. You know, our grandfathers did the same thing. They planted wheat in the fruit. We will do the same thing, our children and grandfathers will eat. And if Allah Ta'ala wills, we'll also enjoy. So this whole thing carries on in this manner. So Harun Rashid liked the answer. When he liked the answer, he said, Naam. Naam was like a code word. If he said Naam, then that means the cashier must cough up. He must give a million rands. So he passed on a million rand to this farmer. He liked the answer, very impressive. So now the farmer became a little bit more clever. See? These people come from the village and the farm, don't underestimate them. They're too sharp, right? So he said, the farmer says, you know what? Some person's farm takes 40 years to bear fruit. Mine's instantly. See, I just planted the seed and came up. I got cash, 1 million. Harun Rashid got excited and said, Naam. Second million is going. Now the farmer became even more intelligent, more wise. He says, it's normal for a farm to bear fruit once in a year. Mine's twice in the year. Naam. The cashier says, let's move from here. He'll empty the whole treasury, he'll empty it. See? So, the intention of the person that is teaching, it impacts on the listeners, the children that are learning there. If his intention is, I must teach here, and then these children will read good qiraat and recitations for jalsa, and they will impress the crowds, and people will see the bright, then the teaching won't have the right effect. But his intention is only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, and that the word of Allah Ta'ala must continue after this, then it will have a different effect. See now, his intention that I will teach the children so beautiful qiraat, and they will get into big jalsas, and they will read, and people will get impressed with the recitation, no one have an effect. Their intention is that the best thing is to learn the Quran and teach the Quran. I will teach it to him and he will teach it and carry on. So the effect will be totally different. It will be a simple person, but the effect is just moving on, flowing. So the teaching of the Quran will be at different levels, but the niyat must be right. So I was explaining to Ustaz that for some long time I used to be thinking, you know, that there is a masla. The masla is that you cannot write the translation independently of the Arabic text. If you write the translation, then it must be with the Arabic text. And that's this consensus is unanimously agreed upon. So I should think for a long time, I should think, all right, why is it that it's compulsory to write the Arabic text with the English translation? Why is it? There must be a simple reason. And when there is ijma and consensus, then this is a very sound thing. But then my mind used to work now, why? Why did they have consensus? So Allah Pak put my mind in one avenue. I said, see, as far as the previous scriptures are concerned, whether it's the Injil, whether it is the Torah, can you show me one verse in the language of the revelation? One verse. It was the language of the revelation. One verse in the language of the revelation. You can't find it. Now you studying, for example, the Torah or the Injil, you are studying it, and some verse is not clear. Now, can you look for the original reference? Can you look? You can't find the original reference. All you can do is look at another translation, and the third translation, the fourth translation. But can you get to the original, the language of the revelation? Can you get through it? You can't get it. So Allah Ta'ala has protected His Kitab so much, the Quran Sharif, that if anybody mistranslates or misconstrues and wrongly interprets, you can still go to the original. Go to the original. See, you know, nowadays, people confuse, complicate. And this complicating was something from the Bani Israel. Allah Pak told them as well, لا تلبسوا الحق بالباطل. Don't cover truth with falsehood. Don't cover the truth with falsehood. So you cover the truth with falsehood in different ways. Like there was a big conference, right? So there were educated, learned people all there in that conference, and they are encouraging girls, young girls, to go get to universities. Whereas some of my friends that were lecturing and that are still in the universities, they say, but please, for Allah's sake, don't ever encourage this thing. We're seeing this day and night, we see what's going on. So don't you ever send girls there. So one person came and told me, but Mulana, what's wrong? You know what? Tomorrow, if your wife has to see a gynae, right? And there's no Muslim girl, then where is she going to go? So there's a lengthy answer for that. I don't want to digress now. But I told him, you know, based on what I understand from students at the university and lecturers that were long, 30 years, 25, 30, 40 years, they tell you, by to get one Muslim girl, you have to sacrifice from 90 or 100, you have to sacrifice 99 to get one good girl coming out. So is that worth the deal? Sacrifice her respect, her integrity, her chastity, just to get one good Muslim coming out. So I say, is that worth the deal? Is it making sense? You know, you do the maths, is it working out? So you're paying so much, and you're getting just one thing coming out. So it's such a dangerous thing. So, now, the person that is promoting this thing here, he's covering the truth with falsehood. So in the conference now, they're talking about girls going to university. So one person, learned, educated, a little bit of Islamic knowledge. So how he covers the truth with falsehood. He said, you know, we can't allow such a huge mass of human resources to be wasted. See that? We cannot allow such a huge mass of human resources to be so intelligent, so capable, and we just waste it. Now this is called covering the truth with falsehood. Now the audience, they also buy that thing. They can't, because the deeni knowledge and understanding is not so sound. When it's not so sound, someone is moving the whole thing on one direction, they go. The wind is going on the next direction, they're going with the wind. So the understanding of deen is not very sound, and they're not linked up with anybody. They can be turned this way, they can be turned the other way around. But now, this is called covering the truth with falsehood. See? So now what a dangerous game this is. So anyway, the Quran Sharif, I say, it's protected and guarded in several ways. Right? One is the word. Right? One is the original text. It's guarded and safe. One is even the pronunciation, that's also guarded and safe. Not just the word, but even the pronunciation. So, لَا يَأْتِيهِ الْبَاطِلُ مِنْ بَيْنْ يَدَيْهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِ. It's impossible for any corruption to enter in the Quran. Any corruption, any alteration, any distortion, impossible. لَا يَأْتِيهِ الْبَاطِلُ مِنْ بَيْنْ يَدَيْهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِ. It can't come from any direction. Whether the pronunciation, whether the recitation, whatever. Now, So these special classes to teach the recitation of the Quran Sharif, the Quran Sharif is recited correctly. Now we may think that the pronunciation, etc., are small and insignificant thing, but it's very, very, very important. In any language, there is a thing like pronunciation. You pronounce it correctly, you convey the right message. But if the pronunciation is not right, then the whole message can be distorted, can be all covered. See, you see, lick, right? Right. Got one meaning. Now the same word lick, you add a mud to it. What it'll mean, what is, how you read? Leak. Lick and leak. Is there a big difference? Just adding a mud, stretching the thing, and the whole meaning is changed. You said lick, lick one meaning, right? And you added a mud now, leak. You say first, right? First. You come to my first. You come to my first. And I say, you come to my feast. You add a mud now, what it became? See, first to feast. Do you see the difference? That mud brings such a big difference, a dynamic difference. You think, you know, it's a small thing. They think about makhraj and tajweed and qirat and all that small thing. It's an important thing. It's not a small thing, not a thing that is insignificant. I thought about it, a lot of examples came to mind then. Right? I used to use the word for, right? Now just a little bit of a change in the pronunciation and how it changes the whole meaning. He is a foe. That's majhul, that's ma'ruf, right? And when you read the same thing with majhul, he came to the forecourt. Must come to the fore. See that the whole meaning has been changed. Forecourt, foe. Just a little bit of change of the pronunciation and how the meaning just changes. Whole meaning changes. So how important it is to get the recitation, but the recitation with the right pronunciation. But now that doesn't mean that if we don't have our pronunciation right, must suspend the recitation until we get the recitation right. Now that's another extreme. Carry on recitation and carry on improving yourself. If you can't improve the recitation in one stroke, in one day, then gradually take one alphabet. See, there's about 12 alphabets that you need to get right. For the recitation to be right, you need to get about 12 alphabets to come right. Sod and Sin and Sa and Zal, Ha, Qaf, Kaf, all that. It's about 12 alphabets that you need to get right. So an easy approach to get the recitation right is just take one alphabet. So you took, for example, saw. You say saw, this is sa. So now you have to teach the person how to get the sword right. So you showed him one sword, right? What is this? It's a sword. So you got the recitation right. He's identifying with this, under the pretext of identifying, he'll get the recitation right. But now, the importance of getting the recitation right, get it right, properly. So you see the Quran Sharif and the preservation in every respect, not just one single respect. The original revealed text, the pronunciation, the meaning, everything, the meaning, the exact meaning that came with the explanation from the time of Rasulullah to this day. One Sahabi says that we were about attacking Constantinople, place Istanbul, right? So we came to attack. It was under Roman control that day. That was the headquarters. So he says we came with our whole army and we were on the verge of attacking. And we haven't yet opened our arms. We're still planning things and how to make things work. So one Sahabi, he went into the midst of the enemy to attack. You can imagine now, you see the scene, the Roman army is here, this side is the Muslim army, they're still planning themselves, and one person from the Muslim army, he went and attacked. One person shouted, this is going against the Quran, لَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَ. Don't you throw yourself into destruction. You're throwing yourself into destruction because one person, and there are hundreds of thousands of people there, One person, you can't dent them. Can you cause any dent to them? So you're just throwing yourself, bringing problems, you're bringing destruction to yourself. So Abu Ayyub Ansari, he was present at that occasion. And he said, no, you're giving the wrong explanation. You see, now to get the right explanation, you have to be witnessing Rasulullah. What did Rasulullah say on that occasion? It is not just reading something up. But to understand the circumstance, and not only the circumstance, but even the correct intonation, you know, in what tone the person spoke, to understand that as well. See, like in Urdu you say, I see you in a problem, right? I said, bhai, kya baat hai? What's the problem? Can I help? So you can see, right, the tone. And that child is making mischief, right? Kya baat hai? Can you see that the tone changed? And the first tone was like sympathizing, trying to help. And the second tone, kya baat hai? Can you see that the tone changed? And the tone changed, then was I sympathizing with the person or reprimanding the person? I was making a whole world of a difference. So you have to be there to understand it. Now people say, no, we're looking at translations, right? Translation, kya rakha hua hai? What's left in the translation? You see the intonation. The intonation will give you the exact meaning. So you have to be present to understand the intonation and the circumstance. So Abu Ayyub Ansari says that we were present when this verse was revealed. The circumstances for the revelation was that Islam had become strong. It had taken root. It was flourishing. So we felt to ourselves, now Islam is flourishing, right? It's taken root, it's flourishing. Now we can attend to our businesses, our farms, and we can thrive in that as well. For years now, we're just making jihad and going out in expeditions. Now we can attend to our businesses. It's about time. On that occasion, this verse was revealed, لَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَ. Don't throw your hands into destruction. That means that not striving and struggling in the path of Allah Ta'ala and just attending to your business, that is your destruction. See, that's your destruction. You think for yourself, you know, but that really it amounts to destruction. Well, how it really amounts to destruction? It amounts to destruction in this way, that if all our efforts are directed just on material, right? Just on material, nothing else. It's just directed on material, accumulating, right? Then the children will do the same, the daughters will do the same. Then in one generation, you may lose your son, you may lose your daughter as well. They'll get all mixed up. From one level, they'll go to the second level, become gays, become like beasts, and they'll move on. Because the whole intention was just material, nothing beyond material. That material you will earn, but you will be guided by deen. The material will be guided by deen. The deen will say, no, this is right, right, moving. Deen will say, this is wrong, so you will move accordingly. See, the Sahaba Kiram and us, I explained this earlier as well, deen, they were deeni driven. They were driven by deen. Deen says, now you won't get into this bargain, right? She's showing a 30% return. But I can see there's some mixture of interest here, some usury. No, throw it out. I don't want it. So they were deeni driven. So irrespective of the remuneration coming, 30%, you won't get that 30% anywhere in the world. You're putting into an investment and you're getting 30% return. You think you'll get it anywhere in the world? You can't get it. This is a bargain. A little bit of interest now, you know, you can't help it now. We're living this time now. You will cover up for yourself because you're not deeni driven. Sahaba Kiram were deeni driven. So the world just tagged along, came with them. And we are dunyawi driven. The dunya is driving us and the deen must come behind. So that's not the way of the Sahaba Kiram. The Sahaba Kiram's way was totally different. Our way is totally different. Their ways are totally different. It is so important to trace the people of the old. What did they do? How did they manage affairs? What did they do? How was the outlook towards life? We don't speculate and gamble with our lives. One person came to the Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullahi. So he was into this photography, right? Well, in that time, we're talking about over 100 years ago, so photography was like a novelty, big business, really big business. I remember as a child, now over 55 years ago, 58 years ago, I know in the reunion, photography was a big business, very big business. Just, I think, 3 blocks away from where we were living, there was a photographer. All the black community would come for the weddings, and the way they would do it is a very big occasion it used to be. So it was a very thriving business at that time. So this photographer came to Mawlana Thami Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and explains to him, said, Mawlana, but photography, what's your take? So Mawlana says, I don't have any take on that. I don't have a take. That is the work of an expert. You know, he can have a rye. I don't have a rye on this. Yes, I have a belief that it is haram. So a belief is a different thing, and an opinion is a different thing. My belief is that this is haram. You see that? See how they ask, what's your right? What's your take? I don't have a take on this thing here. My belief is that this is haram. So he turns around and says, Mawlana, but this must be haram because in that era, it was taking people towards idolatry, picture worshipping, right? And now people don't have that in their minds. They don't see a picture and worship the picture. So when they don't worship a picture, so why is it impermissible then? Now that's the question that he's putting forth before Mawlana. So Mawlana has to answer him, but answer him in his language. So Mawlana asks, all right, I want to know from you, what's your view, what do you feel about zina? What do you feel about zina? So it's haram. So I want to ask you, then why is zina haram? Adultery or fornication, why is it haram? Now you got stumped, you're saying you can't see anything. Can't move backwards, not forward, you're stuck in the traffic. Front also you jammed, back also you jammed, nothing. So Mawlana allowed him some time, a minute, 2 minutes, maybe some thought comes in his mind, gave him a chance. So when no answer was coming to his mind, he said, can I say something? Perhaps you may say that zina is haram because, you see, one woman is a service provider for 10 men, right? She's a service provider for 10 men. Then a child is born, right? If a child is born in the whole servicing, then there'll be a big confusion as to who's the father of the child. You're talking of 100 years back, right? There'll be a whole confusion. It's possible that everybody will be fighting, Kanayama, my child. Everybody fighting, right? And it's possible that nobody wants to assume parenthood. You know, not our child, they'll dump it, the ten will dump it. So in order to preserve the child, there'll have to be a marriage so that someone can assume parenthood and preserve the child, look after the child. Exactly, that's the answer, Mawlana, that's the answer. We hit the nail on the head, that's the answer. So when he came to that point, Mawlana says, but alright, if you say that's the exact answer, that's the answer, right? Say for example, a woman is barren, young woman, but she's barren, she's not delivering children. Had an operation or something, she's too beautiful, and she's barren. It's ascertained that she will not deliver any child, right? Or take another situation, where one person has assumed parenthood. She can service all 10 of you all, but one person will assume the parenthood of this child. Right? Second situation, right? The third situation is this, that she's had a litigation, right? So permanent litigation, no child is going to be born. Now, will then zina be permissible? Because there is no problem of parenthood. There's no problem of parenthood. She's permanently went for litigation, right? Or she's totally barren. Or one person has assumed the responsibility of parenting, right? So if that has happened, now will it be permissible for this woman to service all these people? Now you got stumped again. First time you got stumped, you got jammed against the motor car. So Mawlana told him, see, by just say it is the command of Allah Ta'ala, whether I understand it or I don't understand it, it is the command of Allah Ta'ala, zina is haram, I don't want to make stories about it, I don't need to know and discover the reason why Allah Ta'ala had made this haram and why He had allowed this. I don't need to know. I just need to know that is this the command of Allah Ta'ala? That's all I need to know. I don't need to know anything beyond this. Why He declared it as haram, why He declared a certain thing as halal, that He knows, that's His knowledge. He didn't ask us to go and discover that. Yes, He instructed us to follow, not to know why He has legislated this command and why doesn't He legislate this command yet. Now I see there's so much of wisdom in that, so much of wisdom, right? Look at the wisdom, right? In following what the elders had explained and illustrated and interpreted, right? Now look at the phones in this zamana, right? In this zamana, look at it. So I was speaking against the phones, right? So a couple of good youngsters said, no, we want to check it up. Now I don't even know how to use the phone. They want to check it up. That what is the percentage of abuse on the phone, on porn sites, etc. This is over 65% to 70%. Now you can't say that these people are luring us towards this porn site. You can't say. They will only provide what the clientele wants. If the clientele in Spingo Beach want bread and milk, they'll be stocking milk and bread, right? That's what they'll be stocking. They will be stocking exactly what you want. You want that porn, so they'll be stocking this thing here. You cannot throw the blame entirely onto them. It's about time that you also you also assume some responsibility. It's going from this level, first level. The second level, they're tired of that, then they get into gay relationship, right? From this phone, they get into it. Now they disinterested in a marriage with a woman. Now they're getting into men to men, woman to woman. From where to where? You keep watching this thing. That filth also seems to be very enjoyable. But that was as a result that you kept on reading or watching. Kept on reading and watching. And you came to this point here, and now you enjoy the abnormal relationship, not the normal. And then the law took it up also, that this is a normal thing, it's a normal tendency, so allow him his freedom. So they took it to that level. From that level, it escalated even further. It went even more higher. Now there is a thing like abuse, child abuse, molestation, child. And there's all pointing about that. And how people are abusing children, right? Children, how they're being abused. See, from which point? From the porn illicit activity, then to the second level, now gay relationship. And then from there, they're taking it even further, and a child is abused. Now you take your child anywhere, you're not safe. You don't know what the man is up to. Why he's showing so much of kindness to your child? You don't know. So you don't feel safe wherever you go. You're going to a gathering, you know, you're supposed to be enjoying yourself, celebrating. But you can't celebrate. But the root cause is photography. From photography to porn, from porn to this gay relationship, from that to child molestation, from where to where. And then it's going even further. Now they started with something else now. Now it's even men to animals, right? Dogs or whatever. But now the whole mankind has gone to the dogs. See? But from which point to which point? You say, no, if it's man to man, still we'll have problems. You know, we'll still have problems. Although we're man united, but we still have problems. But now if you've got a dog, no problems. That thing can't speak. We'll just enjoy ourselves, finish, end of the story. That thing is retired. We can just replace that thing. It can't talk. It can't sue you for anything. This way it will sue you. This way it won't, no trouble. But you see from one level to the second level, to the third level, to the fourth level, Allah Pak knows where this thing will end. But where it started from, photography. That's the starting point. You see in Gujarati, bhool bhooli jaman, bhoolni karan ni bhooli jaman. That you made a mistake, alright, forget it. You made a guna in the past, right? Khalas. But what was the cause of that sin? What was the cause of your stumbling? You were on the phone, you know, I was explaining someone in the maktab, you know. So sometimes people get scared, you know, they get intimidated. You got a business here, and someone opened a business next to you. You got a grocery shop, so he started off a grocery shop next to you. So you feel intimidated, hey, now my business is throwing salt in my food. What's wrong with this person here? So you become so overwhelmed now. You want to know what he's doing, how much he's selling, what is the business like, what's the pricing, and why people are flocking to his. So it's one town now, in Cape Town or wherever. Now, one person has got a chicken liquor, right? Next to him, a couple of shops after him was some honchos. Now he felt intimidated. Now every now and then he's checking, hey, honchos mahu taj, what's happening there? What's happening? Peeping inside, going inside, what's happening? He's worried about his business, so he's watching there. I tell this people, just do two things, Allah Pak will take care. You take care of two things. One is, you stock the right product, the good product, right product, and offer the right service. I say, people come to Woolworths for what? Because they're stocking the right product, right quality, and they're providing a good quality service, so people will flock to them. So you just maintain this two, Allah Pak will take the rest. And trust in Allah, Allah Pak will take care. Now this person is watching, hey, what's happening in Honshus? Chicken licking is going down. What's happening? He's stealing my business. Now he's driving with his car, and he's peeping into Honshus. In the meanwhile, he went and knocked on a taxi. 150,000 rand damage. I see, was it worth it? Well, look after your own business. Trust in Allah Ta'ala. Look after your own business. Don't get into the next person's business. So, Allah Pak will provide for you. نَحْنُ وَرَزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّهُمْ. We'll take care of you, we'll take care of the next person. What he is doing is his business, between him and Allah. You worry about your own. You provide the service, provide the stock must be of quality, Allah will do the rest. Why must you get into him now? Why he's opening his to me and he's intimidating me, he's stealing away my clients, don't worry about that. You see that you're doing it right. This is the theme for this age in Samana. Why don't look at what he's doing and what he's doing. Because Isa alayhi salam, once he's advised people, said, "Bhai, Allah Pak didn't send you as a policeman to police over people. He's made you a servant. When he's made you a servant, then behave as a servant. Behave as a slave. Slave, his main concern is the boss happy with me? Am I doing things right? He mustn't ill-treat me. He mustn't punish me for my misgivings and my mistakes. So you're not sent as a police. You sent as a servant. Remain as a servant. As long as you remain a servant and a slave, life is going very smooth. But the moment you say, no, I'm a police, I'm the boss, I must do it, what do I say? Everything is going to. You may have right intentions at the beginning, but afterwards you'll begin to despise, you'll fight, you'll cause problems for yourself and for the entire surrounding. There's a way how to talk to people. You know, this morning I was explaining the Dora class, that Amar bil Maruf, to enjoin the good and forbid the wrong, that's a duty, it's a faraz. But sometimes the faraz has got preconditions. The faraz, and without that precondition, that faraz may not be right. See, namaz is faraz, right? But there's a precondition for namaz called make wuzu first. Can you see that? The wuzu is not the main objective. The main objective was getting to the namaz. But that namaz has got a precondition without which that obligation is not accomplished. So, amar bil ma'ruf, bayan, etc., have got some conditions. Learn the conditions and then execute. Allah Pak Tawfiq Sikha.